continue now with Talking Books, joined in the studio by Susan Brown, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the website. Also, Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture, ChapelHillArt.org for more on them, to offer book recommendations this morning. Hello, how are you?
I am so fabulous. How are you?
I'm good.
I was thinking about this time last week. I was yawning. And it was because the Heels played the night before at 9.
Right.
But last night,
they played at 7.
Not even 7:30. It was 7.
Yeah.
I didn't have to take my pregame nap. And because of the goofy media blackout, we all gathered around the radio and listened to your home of the Heels, the official home of the Heels, 97.9 The Hill.
TV stations may come and go, but we will always be here.
That's
for
right.
You.
And that's we often turn down the volume on the TV and then have the radio going.
With Jones and Eric,
yeah. Yes, but yesterday, or last night, it was just the radio. So we tuned the TV to like one of those things with the crackling fire.
Ooh.
And then we gathered around the radio like the olden times.
Like it. So you get like the old timey radio sound with the crackle crackle of the fire.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I like it. I like it. Some of my favorite memories of like of experiencing sports, whether it's baseball or basketball or anything else, have been just like for not watching, but listening to the radio. I grew up in Michigan, so we used to listen to Ernie Harwell call baseball, like Tigers games. And then coming down here, like all of my favorite Carolina sports memories have mostly been in the car listening to Jones calling like iconic moments.
Well, and I will say, so my younger son has always been into basketball, but he's really gotten into football, and he definitely enjoys, and of course you can find all of this on YouTube now, is looking up some of Jones's famous football calls, like the Switzer era is one of my
Gio
favorites.
Running back the touchdown.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I was sitting in the parking lot over there at University Place. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Awesome. So, books. How are things going at the library?
Enough about basketball. Let's talk about books. Things are going really well. You know, we are trucking along with winter reading. We have a new person working on our adult programming and outreach. Well, she's been a staff person for a while, but she's in a new position. So we're gearing up with all of our planning for spring programs. We have lots of great history programs, lots of great environmental education programs. We have some new things coming on board. I should bring up the website while I talk. We are having a board game night next week, or maybe it's this week. Maybe it was last night. Was it last night? Oh, it might have been last night. It was last night. Okay, last night we had a board game night. This afternoon we have a new collaborative program with B3 Coffee, Books and Belonging. We have a Dementia Basics series coming up. So if you follow our events, you'll see a lot more things coming online. That's both, you know, coming through COVID, but also a real new focus on public programs, being strategic about them, being intentional. So, yeah, keep an eye on our newsletter and our calendar. There's some new great stuff coming up.
You mentioned Dementia Basic. That's it's got to be for like caregivers or people who have family members or people in their lives who have dementia, trying to understand the situation.
And this is a series, and it's for caregivers, anybody that wants information, family members, friends. We did it, gosh, 5 or 6 years ago. We did it as a staff, and so we were designated a dementia-friendly business.
Yep. Us too.
It was really good training.
Yeah.
So this is a version of that. You know, I think about that training often because one of the most compelling parts of it that I took away was, and I think this is true for everybody, the person who's facing dementia. So this was in this kind of customer service framework of how you best interact and serve
them. I bet you're
going
to say the same thing I'm thinking right now.
The person with dementia isn't giving you a hard time, they're having a hard time.
Yep.
And I was like, boy, that's true for almost everybody, right? Just pause, have a little bit of empathy. They're not, because I believe that 99.9% of the people in the world are here to engage.
Just trying to get through the day.
Trying to live their lives.
Yep.
And if they're presenting in a way that doesn't seem that way, that's probably because they're having a hard time.
Yeah.
They're not actually giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Except for my kids sometimes. They're definitely giving me a hard time.
They're giving you a hard time, right. But they are the 0.1%.
That's right. And they'll grow
out of it. I often say my kids are one in a million, and this is specifically what I mean when I say that.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, keep an eye out for all of that. And boy, this spring we are going to be jam-packed with some great programs. So I'm super excited to bring some of those folks on the radio, too.
Love it. And speaking of which, we're talking books today, and we're about to recommend books. We literally just had Courtland Gilliam on the air last hour as the new Poet Laureate. He's fantastic. He read a poem. Yes. It was amazing. Super excited to see what he's got in store for the next year. Is it? Are we back to one year? Or is it a two-year?
Two-year appointment.
It is a two-year appointment?
I
okay.
should know.
Because CJ Suit was two years, but he like extended a year.
But we extended it to three because of COVID.
Oh, was it 3 years because of, okay.
That's right. That's
right.
Right,
okay,
yeah.
gotcha. All right, so for the next 2 years, yes. what he's got going on. But in honor of that and in honor of Courtland's visit, let's recommend poetry this
yes.
morning.
So the first book that came to my mind, both of the books that I'm going to recommend are ostensibly in name for young readers, that sort mm-hmm. of YA or even middle grade reader, but they are so great. Everybody should read them regardless of your age. And the first one is The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. And so this isn't a book of poems, but it's a novel written in verse, which is a very popular thing these days.
Okay.
And so this won lots of awards, but it's the story of the heroine of it is a young Afro-Latina woman, mm-hmm. girl, who is struggling with who she is, where she lives, who her friends are, all of those things. And she starts to journal about her feelings. And then there's kind of all those classic trappings of the YA novels. There's a challenge with her parents. There's a challenge with her friends. There's a boy. There's all of this stuff.
Right.
But it's so thoughtful. And she ends up through, I think it's her church or her school, getting asked to do a slam poetry thing. So that's the opportunity for all of these things she's kept internal to get external. So it's a book about a young aspiring poet written as a novel in verse.
That's awesome.
And it's a very, very powerful book. And it's probably, you know, these days trying to be pulled out of classrooms and libraries.
I'm sure.
Which means you should read it even more.
What's
so
it called?
Poet
the Poet X?
By Elizabeth Acevedo.
All right. I'm not going to recommend a book. I'm going to recommend one poem in particular that I was thinking about Courtland and the work that he's already done and kind of trying to draw inspiration from that. And I don't think he mentioned this particular poet, but what he was talking about, when he was talking about his influences, reminded me of a poem that I read in college that I absolutely love. And it's by a poet that I learned today, looking her up, started out as a poet for, like, she wrote children's poetry. Like, that was the first book she published back in the 60s. But then she made her name a little bit more notably later on as, like, an activist poet, very, like, politically oriented, very feminist, very like civil rights oriented poet, June Jordan, who is just an amazing poet. And I'm going to recommend one poem in particular. It's called Poem About My Rights, which is longish, but it's a poem. You can sit down and read it in like 5 minutes. Read it out loud, because that's probably as it's meant to be read and experienced. But it is a phenomenal poem. I think she wrote it in 1980-ish, like around then, about civil rights, about feminism, about being a woman in America, being black in America, being black in the world, being a woman in the world, and all of the and being LGBTQ in the world, and like all of these things kind of coming together in this just burst of emotion about all of those things. And it's just an incredibly powerful poem that I'm kind of talking around, because I don't want to give any spoilers as to what happens or what she talks about. But just Google it, June Jordan Poem About My Rights, and spend 5 or 10 minutes reading it. It's fantastic.
Oh, sorry.
That's
I was
all I
Googling
got. Yeah.
It.
I know
Googling.
You're Googling it. Yeah. I stopped talking as you were starting to type.
So I just want to mention one more who I've talked about before. I mean, somebody tells me to Google something and I start Googling it.
You got the laptop open. You might as well.
I want to recommend an author. Again, these aren't, he's a poet and also one of our great, great writers of books for youth. So Kwame Alexander, who I think I've talked about before, and I think You know, he's visited Chapel Hill before. A couple years ago, I saw on social media that he had his bus had pulled into the Moorhead. And this is a legendary story. I went and picked my children up from school. I said, they're sick. I need to come and get them. And I took them down, and we waited for him to come to his bus, and we got to meet him in the parking lot of the Moorhead. But that's a thing that he does, is he puts out a book, and then he has this tour bus, and he goes and visits schools and libraries. I think he might have just been at Northside. He's just such a generous author. So his new book is called, I think, The Door to Nowhere, maybe? I forget the title. But so many of his books are written in verse. So The Crossover was written in verse, and Swing. Solo was so good. And so he's like one of those authors where people might think, oh, a seventh grade boy isn't going to want to read a novel in verse. And then you give them one of his books, and it's just like they want to read all of them. So he's a brilliant author. Many, many of his books are written in verse. He's written picture books. He's written poems. His books resonate with people of all ages. He's just a wonderful human being who also happens to be a poet.
And I think his last book is The Door of No Return.
The Door of No Return.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just Googled that while you were talking.
See, you Googled it. People say Google something, you immediately Google it.
Yeah, yeah. People are like, I don't know the answer to this question. It's like, we've got computers. We've got like four of them in this room. Let's Google it. Yeah.
I often say that to the children. Like, they ask me something. I'm like, you have all of human knowledge right here, kids.
Yes, Mom, but there's so much misinformation in there with
they
all
try
of the
and
knowledge.
That on
yeah,
me
they're,
too.
They're not wrong.
Right.
I Googled it and it said so on the
we'll
internet.
Google it
so.
First and then we'll talk about
and then we'll
misinformation
talk about it.
And disinformation and critical information
I like
sources.
It. And that is Talkin' Books, ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org for more on the Chapel Hill Public Library. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.